Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We give the good Lord praise, and
yes,
it is great to be in his house again.
Oh, yes, it is.
I want to just give a special welcome again to some of you I see who haven't been in for a while. Thank the good Lord for all of you who are here. See, Sister Vernice is in with us again today. Thank God for that.
Amen.
I'm not going to start calling names, because if I do, I'll miss somebody, then y'all will be mad at me. So I'm not going to do that, but just all of y'all who are here, we thank God you're here today.
Yes,
good to see you again.
Yes.
In the fellowship. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We just want to pray. I did get a chance to talk with Sister Cookie this morning, and told her the church is continuing in prayer for her.
Amen.
Amen. And we see Deacon Perry is looking real good here.
Amen.
He's come back in. And he's looking good. Amen. So we thank God for all of you who are here back in the house today. Amen. Amen. Now, today is a special lesson, and I think this one is something that it was impressed on me. We needed to take a turn back. You know, we just got done over in chapter 10 in the epistle to the Romans. If you happen to be here today visiting, we've been working our way through the book of Romans, and we're going to continue that, but today we're going to actually back up just a little bit, and it's for a very important purpose. And I just thought that as I was looking at what we've been looking at here in the last so often, we've been examining Paul's explanation of why the covenant people were in unbelief, and that's a striking kind of a thing. And today it's not much different, because the gospel has been going out. That's the good news, that God has given his son Jesus Christ into all the world, and look at how many people today don't believe. And it's very basic. There's really God's got a lot of evidence around reasons why they ought to believe. He's got the calendar fixed up, centered around Christ, his son. People even try to deny that now today. It's ridiculous that you could do that. Because your birthday, your birth certificate, every document that you write, everything in your life has to do with the time of the birth of Christ.
That's right. Amen.
And people try to just sweep that under the rug and act like it doesn't mean anything. Some people try to get rid of it. They say, instead of saying AD like we say, which is an abbreviation of a Latin term, Anno Domini, and that means in English the year of our Lord.
Yes.
They want to say it's CE, the common era or the Christian era. They want to sweep away the fact that we count time by Christ. Where you and I would say BC is before Christ, meaning before his birth.
Right.
That God centered him in history. They want to say it's BCE, before the Christian era.
Yes. Uh-huh.
See, and that's how you can tell who's on the side with Christ and who's not.
Amen.
Who's against him. Because
Amen.
All you do is listen to how they do that. They want to try to take him out of it. What's your motivation? Why are you doing that? And I ask people, and every time, I'm going to say this again, most of y'all who know me, you know, when I write checks or anything I write at work, all the documents I write, I have to sign in my job, I put the date and I put AD. And people sometimes say, well, what you put that on there for? I say, because that's what it has reference to. The numbers don't mean anything without the AD.
That's
telling you what point. 2014 from when? From the time Christ was born. And up until now has been 2014. 2014 years. So I put that on there, because otherwise the numbers don't mean anything.
Right.
See? And so then I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about Jesus while you're asking me. You know, you bring up that subject. And I'll do this in the grocery store. My wife will tell you. If somebody at the counter says, what you put that on there for? Oh boy, we got a good time coming now. But I'm going to tell you what I put that on there for. Because Jesus Christ is the center of time.
Amen.
But now you ask the question, if he came to his own people, and his people rejected him and crucified him, what's up with that?
Yeah.
You know, but we look in the word, and we find out in the book of the law and in the prophets that it was stated that Jesus would come to his own, and his own would receive him not. They would crucify him. It was all written in the word. And so what Paul has been doing systematically through this book of Romans, and you'll understand why we want to back up to chapter 7 here, is he's been outlining and telling them from the law and the prophets and the Psalms that Jesus is the Messiah. and that it was written that he would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities.
Mm-hmm.
He would be a stumbling block to people who did not trust him.
Yes.
And all of that's written in the word.
Yes,
he would be pierced, it said there, and nailed through his hands and his feet. All those things are all written in the word.
Mm-hmm.
It said he would be despised and rejected, smitten and afflicted of God, that God himself would afflict him. It even said in the book of Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone that is hanged on a tree.
Yes.
All of these things are in the Old Testament. So he's telling the covenant people who should be Bible students,
all right,
that this is in your Bible.
Amen.
This is no surprise. It's nothing new. It's not a new doctrine or a newfangled thing.
Yes.
This is that old thing that God has been saying all the time, and we have been blinded to it.
Yes.
Now this was the man, Apostle Paul himself, the writer of this epistle, who knew right well what it meant to be spiritually blind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everyone who does not see the gospel of Christ, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, the Lord, the God of this world has blinded their minds.
That's right.
Didn't say blinded their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He has blinded the minds of those who do not believe the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, their mind is blinded. They cannot see that God has given his son.
Amen.
And so Paul is delivering this message, he himself having been one who did not accept the gospel.
Amen.
He was against the gospel. He hated the church.
Amen.
He thought it was a cult and something that needed to be done away with. And but God turned him around on the Damascus Road, and then he became the most vocal advocate for the church and actually began to write scripture. God gave him scripture to write, and that's what we're studying here. He finishes half of the New Testament,
mm-hmm,
written by one who used to hate him.
Mm-hmm.
See?
That's right.
They turn around 180 degrees. And so then he understands the position of the Jews, and he understands the position of the Gentiles, because the gospel was always to the Jew and the Gentile.
Yes.
It was first mentioned to Gentiles before Jews existed. That's in the book of the law.
Yes.
The Jews don't like that. They don't like to hear that it was spoken to a Gentile first before the Jews existed.
Amen.
He said, where you get that from? Well, we look in Genesis chapter 12, and it says that Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees.
Yes.
He was a Chaldean Gentile. God told him, get away from your people. I'm going to separate you and sanctify you.
Right.
Same thing he's saying to us. We have to be careful. We want to come away from the way the world thinks.
That's right.
And start to think the way God says we should think.
Amen.
See? And God's going to take residence in everyone who does that, and he's going to lead you and guide you to all truth. That's the blessing of the gospel. When we understand that God gave his son to be crucified for us, that he showed him after he had risen from the dead for 40 days and nights,
mm-hmm,
and that he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. When we understand that Jesus rose from the dead,
yes,
God the Holy Spirit takes up a residence in us. Now this message is a little different today, so abide with me here. I'm going to kind of go through these texts here. I want you to see some things in the Old Testament that tell us about the fact that salvation has always been by grace.
Always.
No one ever got saved because of works.
That's right.
Nobody ever got saved by keeping the law.
Never.
But there's nothing wrong with the law.
Nothing.
Nothing wrong with what God said. And I want to add this in right here early on. God has never written anything to justify anyone to sin.
All right.
And I want to be real clear on that. Sin is not justified just because people, in other words, are saved by grace and not by works. It's not a license to sin.
That's right.
It's just the opposite. It's a reason to be as holy as you possibly can.
Right.
And the only reason you can do it is because God will empower
it. That's it.
Right. That way, when you do it, he gets the credit.
Yes. Amen.
When you see us running around in here, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Because God has gotten into this wretched, miserable sinner and made him do some right stuff.
That's right. That's
got him doing right. Got him hating that which is wrong.
My Lord.
He turned me around from doing it my way and doing it, starting to do it his
way.
So I'm getting a little better. I'm starting to get cleaned up. My act is getting cleaned up. I'm better than I used to be. I'm not all that I'd like to be.
Yes.
And we're going to see that in this text. This text will reveal that for us. But it is still all by God's grace. So when I'm giving praise, I'm thanking him for what he is doing in my life. He he's suppressing some stuff in me that shouldn't be. He's cleaning up stuff. He's turning on the light on stuff in me that's not right.
Yes.
So I know how to fix it. He's showing me how to fix it, and he's empowering me to walk in a way that's acceptable in his sight. So the name of this lesson is Power Over Indwelling Sin.
Yes.
Now we need to talk about this because you and I need power.
Yes, we do.
And we don't have power. If we're being truthful, we know we're weak.
Yes.
There's certain things in our lives that just take us in.
Yeah.
And we have not figured out how to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some stuff now, if you're saved, you know God has moved in. He's turned some lights on, and you go, boy, I'm kind of a little concerned about X, Y, and Z.
All right. Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff in your life if you're really thinking right. And I don't think I'm preaching to the walls in here today. Somebody said, hello, amen. Lights. Amen, lights. And all that. But I think all of y'all know there's some stuff you have now seen since you got saved. Yo, this is not good.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so how do we get power over those things? That's what we need to talk about. A lot of New Age teachers try to say, just don't discuss any of that.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's not talk about sin.
Yes.
Sin is offensive to people. You're going to drive people away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you can drive them away, but they ain't going to get rid of the sin if we don't talk about it.
Amen.
If we don't talk about it, how about you go to the doctor? Let's not talk about where that pain is. Doctor, I feel good over here. I feel good right here. I feel good all up around here.
Yeah.
Let's not just mention where is that pain.
Yeah.
You know, let's not tell him I'm hurting right here. But I tell him I'm hurting here, you know what? He's going to look right here, find out what's wrong. Why come that's hurting?
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to give you something to fix it or cut something out or do something to make a change. So we can't not talk about it. That's not right. You don't go to the doctor and say, oh, I'm not going to tell him where I'm feeling bad. I'm just going to say, oh, I feel pretty good right here, doc. You know, because you're not going to get anything fixed.
That's right.
We got to tell him where it hurts.
Yes, we do.
And so this is what this is about. How do we get power over indwelling sin? We can't not talk about it.
Yes.
It may not be popular, but we are not trying to do popular. We're trying to do right. We want to do right. So just before advancing with our ongoing study through the Epistle to the Romans, we're going to talk today just a little bit from Romans 7. I wanted to back up here because Paul really reveals his heart here. He's telling you some things going on in his own life that I think are crucial and critical for you and me to know, so we can know how do we get fixed.
Yes.
How do I get rid of this stuff that's still bothering me that I know is not right?
Yes.
You know, even though I know God has completely forgiven me.
Mama.
He gave Jesus to accept me just like I am. If you're here today and you're struggling with sin in your life, God has given his son so he can accept you right now.
Amen. Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Just like you are.
Yes. Amen.
That's the beautiful news of the gospel.
Yes. Yes.
I don't come in and say, when you get it fixed up, come back to the church. No, we say, come in right now. This is the hospital for sick sinners. And there's a whole room full of them right here who can testify. We got issues. And we ain't in here because we all perfect and all fixed up. We're in here because we are being treated for our sin. God is treating us by his Holy Spirit and by his word. Now let's look at this. This has been the pattern all through time. But it is a good question. Why come the covenant people, the Jews, did not accept Christ? And why are they in such a long period of unbelief right now? And so we need to talk about that. Paul thought it was critical when he wrote this letter. So I want to take you back quickly to the Old Testament. I'm going to read today instead of we usually have readers read, but for the conservation of time, we have quite a few verses I'm kind of zip through because I'll be stopping and hitting and missing here today. But look with me, if you would, please, in Zechariah chapter number 3. Now keep in mind, Zechariah is one of the Old Testament prophets. He reveals a great deal about the Messiah in his writing, and he's telling us a lot of things about Israel and about the apostasy of Israel. Apostasy is a fancy word. It means falling away. Israel had gotten to a place where they were completely ignoring the right things that God had given them to do, kind of like the church. Now the church today is saying, let's just not talk about sin. That's a touchy subject. The church needs to be talking about sin.
Amen.
We're not talking about sin. We're not helping anybody.
That's right.
And people are going on with no answer for their problem. Dr. Spock and the psychologist cannot fix your problem.
That's right. Amen.
What you need the Holy Ghost to fix your problem.
Yeah.
You need the Holy Spirit. God is willing to fix it.
Yes, he is.
But we have to face up to it. The word says if we confess our sin,
yes,
he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cannot happen if we are sitting here in a vacuum acting like we don't have a problem.
Amen.
So the first thing we need to do is be honest. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God has given us means by which to cleanse that which needs to be cleansed in our lives.
Amen.
You see, but here in Zechariah, notice this. This is a snapshot of the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 1. This is Zechariah the prophet. He says, then he showed me Joshua. That's an Old Testament name for Jesus, if you will.
Yes, it is.
But Joshua was the high priest at this time. He's the highest spiritual office in Judaism, standing before the angel of the Lord.
Amen.
Now get that picture in your mind. The high priest of Israel, standing before the angel of the Lord. And who shows up on the scene? And Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Wow, what a group. We have the angel of the Lord, Joshua the high priest, and Satan standing there. Look at that. Notice where Satan is. He's not just standing anywhere. He's standing at his right hand.
Yes.
Look at that. That's the place of power.
Yes, it is.
Jesus Christ is currently seated at the right hand of God.
Yes.
The Bible says the place of majesty and power.
That's right.
And here it is, Satan at the right hand of the high priest of Israel. And what is he doing? He's not just standing there sipping a cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, he's standing there to accuse him.
Yes.
To put blame and shame on him. Now notice this, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Now anytime you see that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in the King James translation, that means that's the holy name of God, the Tetragrammaton, which is four letters, YHWH, which they wrote that way so that you could not say it. You couldn't say it. It was not pronounceable. They considered it unpronounceable. You're not clean enough to say God's name.
Yeah.
Today they use the term Yahweh.
Yahweh.
To speak of him. They have to add vowels into it.
Yes.
But when you see that capital situation like that, you'll know in your King James translation that was a way of saying this is the Tetragrammaton. That means four letters. Tetra is four. Grammaton is letters, if you will, in English. We would say, we talk about English and grammar. Okay, so this is the four letters that represent the Most High God. And so we just use the term Lord.
Yes.
And they would write a word Adonai underneath it, which means Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so we indicated with all caps here. And the Lord, the Most High God, said to Satan, the Most High God rebuke you, Satan.
Yes.
Indeed, the Most High God has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you.
Yes.
You see that?
Uh-huh.
Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? In other words, everything deserves to burn, but I plucked them out.
Yes.
I separated them from the rest of the world.
Marvel.
That's what has happened to me and you. If we got saved, right, it's because God plucked you out of the fire.
Yes.
He took you out of the burning.
Yes.
He separated you for himself. Otherwise, the accusation of Satan is true.
That's
we have all sinned and come short of his glory.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, I don't care about you, Satan. I'm taking my people out. I separate them.
Yes.
See, so that's what happened when you get saved. When you trust God, God says, I'm calling you out, pulling you out. I'm separating you. I'm pulling you out of the burning. I'm making you a people for my own possession.
That's right.
Now here at this time, Israel was for his own possession. So he says, and the Lord rebuke you. The Lord has chosen. Notice that. It's not that we choose him. He chose us.
That's right.
He chose Jerusalem, and he rebukes the devil for us on our behalf.
Yes.
And Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. In other words, his exterior was not clean.
Yes.
He was truly guilty, if you will. He was filthy. The devil was right.
Mm-hmm.
He's got issues. He's not clean, Lord. He's not holy.
Yes.
And then he spoke, it says here, and said to those who were standing before him, saying, remove the filthy garments from him. And again he said, see, I have taken your iniquity away from you and will clothe you in festal robes. That's kind of like the prodigal son coming in all filthy.
Yes.
God told him, take those filthy clothes off of him and put a new robe on him.
That's right.
Cover him with my righteousness.
Yes. Amen.
See, we're not righteous by ourselves, but God will strip off that old filthy garment and cover you with his perfect holiness.
Yes. My Lord.
You see that? As he's been doing it all the time. It's not that the Jews were keeping the law and they were so spotless. The high priest was was filthy. He's the symbol of the highest man in Judaism.
That's right.
And it says here his garments were filthy.
Yes.
And the devil said, he's guilty. He's guilty. Burn him, Lord. Burn him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord says, you get back, devil.
Mm-hmm.
I chose these for myself.
Yeah.
They belong to me.
You,
and I'm going to cover them with my righteousness. Take the filthiness off of them. So it's by God's grace that anyone is saved. And you can see it in all through the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Now notice this. And then he says in verse 5, and then I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. I'm covering his mind with cleanliness and righteousness. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments while the angel of the Lord was standing by. That's God standing there to protect you.
Yes.
I cover you with my cleanness and my holiness.
My Lord.
See, in spite of what the devil says, the devil could be right. We are wrong. We haven't done everything right.
That's right.
But I'm making you clean, God says, because I set you apart for myself.
My Lord.
And the angel of the Lord standing by, it says here, the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, if you will perform my service, then you will also govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among these who are standing here. The angels of the Lord watch over those who belong to him.
Oh, yes, he will.
You know that's the group you're in if you've trusted Christ?
Yes. Amen.
That the faith God gave you was by hearing his word, and the angels of the Lord move in and out among us, protecting us.
Yeah.
You ought to just thank God right there.
Yeah.
I thank him right there.
That's right. Amen.
Just because of that. Amen.
Amen.
And then he says here, thus saith the Lord of hosts. And he, notice what he says, if you will walk in my ways. Why did God separate us?
Mm-hmm.
So that we could do his will.
Yes.
We don't want to continue in the filthy garments.
That's right.
We're happy that he covered us in his holiness.
Amen.
That he gives us perfect righteousness. He has chosen not to see my filthiness.
Mm.
He has chosen to take me and just cover me in his righteousness. So when he looks at me, he sees Jesus Christ. I'm covered.
Right. Amen.
And then he also fills me on the inside. We've said this before. So that he can work on my mind and my motives and my intentions and my desires.
Yes.
And all those things that are still warped.
Yeah.
That made my garments filthy to start with.
Amen.
Now notice this. The garment is another thing. I just have to stop right here. That's why I knew I'd have to do this myself. Because if we just read through this, I want to stop here. You know when garments came to be necessary? When Adam sinned. From the very beginning, the first thing he knew is that he was without clothing, and he went and ran and grabbed some fig leaves.
Mm-hmm.
See, so garments are always a symbol of covering.
Yes.
See, want to cover shame and nakedness.
Mm-hmm.
But God loved Adam, and he slayed an animal and covered him with the bloody skins because he required death and the shedding of blood for the remission of sin.
That's right.
All the way from the first sin. You see that? And so when we see garments, it's always talking about what do we use to cover? How are we covered in the sight of God? It's a good thing when God covers you.
Oh, yes, it is.
He's anxious to cover you. He wants to take the fig leaves of self-righteousness off of all of us and cover us in his holiness.
Amen.
And he'll do that. Now, the only way we can get it is we have to get it by grace.
That's right.
We don't deserve it, but it's free.
Amen.
God wants you to have it. He wants to cover you with perfect holiness so that when he sees you, as we showed that illustration, all he sees is the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what salvation is about. It's a free gift.
Yes.
Now, and notice, this is Old Testament. We're not even in the New Testament. Are you surprised? And this is Joshua, the high priest, highest man in the Jewish faith, if you will.
Yes.
And notice it says here, moving on. Now, listen, Joshua, he says, verse 8, Zechariah 3 and 8, the high priest, you and your friends are sitting in front of you. Indeed, they are men who are a symbol, for behold, I am going to bring in my servant, the branch. Guess who that is? That's his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
In the future, I'm putting your sin on his account.
Yes.
Right now, even though it's generations before he is born, I'm bringing in my servant, the branch.
Amen.
And he is going to cover you.
Yes.
Notice verse 9, last one from the old covenant. For behold, the stone that I have set before Joshua, on the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave an inscription on it, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. And that was the day Jesus Christ was crucified.
Yes.
On the cross. All the iniquity was removed in one day.
Amen.
Not only back then, backwards, back to the time of that Joshua, but currently, all the way up until now, everyone who trusts in Christ is covered with his righteousness.
Yes.
You see, and iniquity is gone. Now the word iniquity, we need to take a minute. What does that really mean? That's what we're going to look at here in Romans 7. The problem with you and me that we have in our struggle with sin is our iniquity. That's an internal proclivity to disobey God. It's built in. We call it natural, original sin, some people want to call it. And that's our original intention and our original desire to do against the will of God.
Yes.
Kind of like what Adam had as soon as he ate from the tree which God told him do not eat. Now, Paul here lays it out for us in Romans 7, and that's why this is critical, and I wanted to go back to it. We're going to kind of pick through this next section, and I want you to listen carefully, put on your Holy Ghost thinking cap here.
All right.
And think through this. He says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law." He's trying to still convince the Jews that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. And then of Romans 7:2, "For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law of her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, even," it says, "so then if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if the husband be dead, she is free from that law, that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Now he's simply saying here, this is not trying to teach anything about marriage at all, other than that if you are married to the law, in other words, you can't be married to two at once.
Right.
You either have to be in the law or you're in grace.
Yes.
You cannot be under both. You cannot be under the law and under grace at the same time.
Amen.
Which is important. So when Christ died, he took away the enmity of the law. The law is an enemy to me and you because we cannot keep it.
No way.
It's perfectly holy.
Yes.
We cannot keep it by ourselves. Let
Amen.
Me add that.
Amen.
With the help of God, you can keep it. That's
right.
The closest you can get. So in Romans 7, it's law versus grace is what we're looking at here. Not so much a marriage lesson here. Paul talks about marriage in this place, but in other places as well. And we'll do that as another study one day. We need to talk about that too. But the law is holy, perfect, and absolute, and it demands perfection.
Amen.
See, God's law demands perfection.
Yes, it does.
In other words, God, if he gave 10 commandments, which he did, if you break one, James 2:10 says you're guilty of the whole law.
The whole law.
So all you have to do is fall short in one of those laws,
That's
and
it.
you're toast,
Amen.
So simply put, before God. So anybody seeking to be justified by law has to keep all of it.
Yes.
If you haven't kept it all, guess what? You're toast. You cannot enter into heaven.
Yes.
One lie is enough. People say, well, why is a lie on the list with murder? Did you ever think about a lie was the first sin? The first one that was committed. Somebody lied.
That's right.
The devil lied.
Amen.
And he told Eve, oh, did God tell you that? He don't mean that. He don't mean that. What he said, go ahead, just fill up on that tree. It's all right. You just don't know what that tree is going to do for you.
Yeah.
That was a lie.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? She was deceived because of the lie.
Amen.
So a lie is a very heinous thing.
Yes, it is.
You know what? If we lived our lives where we didn't have to lie, we'd be doing some stuff right, wouldn't we?
My Lord.
Yes, we would. So a lie is an awful thing. But keep this in mind. You cannot be under the law and under grace. Guess what? The Old Testament folks didn't get saved by the law. You know why? Because they didn't keep it.
That's right.
What did they have to do? If they broke the law, they had to do what? Take a sacrifice. Just like God started with Adam, there had to be a sacrifice. Adam didn't know, so God made the sacrifice. And after that, the sacrificial system was set in place all the way up until Jesus Christ the Son became flesh and was crucified. And that ended the sacrificial system. That's why it says that the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. God says, I'm done with that kind of sacrifice.
Yes.
Rip that veil right half in two. Don't need it anymore because now I'm satisfied by my son
Amen.
And the work that he did. So basically, you are either married to the law or you are married to Christ. You have a choice. You cannot. And I want you to know this because I don't want you to go around feeling guilty. If you're saved, now guilt is a good thing. Let me add this at this point.
Yes.
Guilt tells me, guilt is to the conscience and the mind as sin is to the, let's say as pain is to the body. pain in the body says, oh, this is hurting. I need to get this checked. My leg is hurting.
Yeah.
So I go to the doctor and I get my leg checked or my back or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So the pain shows up, tells me where the problem is. Well, that's what guilt does.
Yes.
Guilt says you got a problem here. This is out of alignment with God.
Amen.
See, and you know what? We shouldn't, and I'm not saying not to not embrace guilt. What you do with guilt is turn it over to God.
That's it. Amen.
Don't cover it. Don't hide it.
Yes.
Take it to God in prayer.
Amen.
Find somebody in the body of Christ you trust that you can share with what you're dealing with.
Yes.
The devil wants you to try to deal with it yourself and tell you you're the only one going through that. But the truth is, everybody here has got issues.
That's right. Amen.
And the fact is, we're going to get clean when we trust God. And when we trust one another.
Amen.
See, you can't just tell anybody. Make sure you know you're talking to somebody spiritual that loves you, that's got your back. See, you can't talk to just anybody, but you want to know whoever it is, is saved.
Yes.
They have your best interest in mind.
Amen.
And we're going to work through it together.
Yes.
When we get past this, things like this, just some simple things. Sometimes people just need help getting off cigarettes, for example, or getting off smoking or other things that we like to smoke. You know how that is. And I could probably help you because I smoke some of everything in my life. I can tell you what I went through because I smoke some of everything.
Same.
You know, and I'll say it now because God broke those chains.
My Lord.
And he made it where I could probably help somebody that's struggling with smoking anything.
That's right. Amen.
Because he blessed me and got me off of it.
Yes.
Been off of it for years.
Amen.
Never think about it anymore.
Yeah.
You see? So that's what you need. If somebody is struggling with a lying, with gossip, whatever it is.
Right.
There's somebody here who has gotten past that.
Right.
And they can help you get where you need to be.
That's right.
See,
amen.
And that's why it's a fellowship and a brotherhood
that's
within the church.
Is.
You see, we're a family. We're brought together into a family to help each other get rid of sin. So what the folks telling you, just think positive things and don't talk about sin, they're really hurting you.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Yes, they are.
God wants us to be holy. He said, be ye holy, even as I am holy.
That's right.
So how are we going to get holy? We got to have this fellowship one with another.
Yeah.
You see. Now, Paul knew this. He says, now moving on, let's move on here. Time's getting away. Verse 4, wherefore, brethren, ye are also become dead to the law, see that?
Mm-hmm.
By the body of Christ. When Jesus died, guess what? He kept the whole law.
Yes, he did.
He never broke the law at all.
Yeah.
And then he gave himself as a ransom. Father, since I have not broke the law, I'm perfectly righteous. I want to cover all of these who trust in me. I'm doing it for them. They ain't getting away with it. I'm taking the pain. I'm taking the suffering.
Thank you,
I'm taking the blast of your wrath.
Thank you,
I'm taking your neglect.
Yeah.
You're neglecting me and I'm crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking all that.
Thank you, Jesus.
So that everyone believes in me, you can let them go.
They
didn't get away with it. Why? Because I took the I took the blast.
Amen.
The punishment and the wrath fell upon me.
Yeah.
All of it that they deserve, you put it on me.
Yeah. Mama.
Everything that they deserved and to burn in hell, whatever, you poured it on me.
Yeah.
And I stood up here, hung between heaven and earth, took that blast.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I could take Adams because he trusted me.
Mama.
So I could take Perry because he believes in me.
Yeah.
We can go around this room. So I could take Guzman.
Yeah.
So I could take Vernice.
Yeah.
We can go around the room. Everyone trusted in him, I took the debt for all their sin. Brought it on me.
My Lord.
They didn't get away with it. I'm taking it.
Yeah.
You took it. And when all of that had been done, he still was not dead.
That's right.
Why? Because death could not take him. Death had no right because he had no sin of his own. But he took the punishment for all of us who trust in him and believe in him. So that's how we get clean. It's not, it's even legal because Jesus kept the law.
That's right.
He did it so he could forgive Jamerson.
Yes.
So he could forgive Robbie or whoever you want to name. I'm here, I'm going naming names again. I can just go around the room, all those who believe in him.
Yeah.
He took your debt.
Yes, he did.
Paid it in full.
Oh, yes, he did.
And so he can let you go free.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, so that's why when God looks, if you trust in Christ, you might be all tattered and torn. You trust in Jesus, God says, you're covered.
Thank you, Lord.
All I see is my son. No matter how they are under there, I cover them. They're covered.
Yeah.
So if you want to be covered, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, then this is what you must do. You trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah.
And lean not to your own understanding in all your ways.
Acknowledge
him and he'll direct your path.
Yes,
Now notice this here. Notice he says, let's move on. We got to get through these verses. He says here, we have become dead to the law by the body of Christ,
yes,
that ye should be married to another. Guess who that is? That is Christ.
Jesus.
Even to him who was raised from, yes, the dead. See that? That we should bring forth fruit unto God. So God has saved you, yes, that you might bring forth fruit unto him.
Right.
You are divorced from the law.
Yes.
You are married to Christ.
Yes.
And Christ has fulfilled everything necessary to make you holy and spotless in the sight of God.
That's
see
right.
that? And he did it for a reason, not just for any old reason. So I can walk around and say I'm married to Christ,
mm-hmm,
but so that I can bring forth fruit.
That's right. Amen.
Unto God.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the true vine and ye are the branches.
Yes.
If you abide in me, you shall bring forth much fruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
In John 15. Now notice this, but now, he says verse 6, Romans 7 and 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, we were, yes, dead because we couldn't keep it,
yes,
that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter.
All right.
What shall we say then? Is the law sin? That's the first logical question. Mm-hmm. The answer is absolutely not, or God forbid.
Amen.
Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, you shall not covet.
Yes.
Right.
See, so the law identifies the sin that I have.
That's what it does.
You see, and when it says you shall not covet, that means it's not only that you shall not steal. We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
We shall not steal. Stealing is, this don't belong to me. It's sitting there, and I look around, and and I'm getting away with something that's not mine. That's,
yeah,
one way you can steal.
Yeah.
But you know what? You already sinned before you touched it.
That's right.
How'd you do that? Because you lusted over it in your mind.
Yeah.
Your mind said, oh, let me get that. Let's see who's looking. You looked around, you plotted, you schemed.
You.
Then you stole.
Yes.
So you already committed the sin in your mind.
That's right.
See, same thing with adultery. Jesus said you lust first.
That's right.
And then you do the act.
Mm-hmm.
So just the very thought is sin. That's why he said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery in his own heart.
Yeah.
Already. It's done already, because
right,
you fashion the sin in your mind before you do the act.
Amen.
See, so even to think about it is not right.
That's right. Amen.
So looking at that, that kind of cranks up the amplification on the sin issue, doesn't it? Like, boy, now, you know, you might just hate somebody, and that's, Jesus said, you're a murderer.
That's right.
Because that's, you start off with hatred before you figure out, how am I going to get rid of you?
Amen.
See, so that's the whole problem, is that the internal thing is a problem. People were going around saying, well, I didn't do any of that. No, you didn't, but you thought about it, didn't you?
That's right.
See, so you're still guilty in the sight of a holy God.
Amen.
And so now, that with that being the case, you see the standard is very high. If we're going to be saved by law, we got to stop even never, say, I never had a thought of doing anything like that. And that was a lie.
Yes, was.
If you said that, because you did have a thought.
Right.
So don't say you didn't have a thought, and you did. See what I'm saying? You see how that is? When you start,
yes,
bringing it internal, it's impossible for us to be saved by the law.
Right.
The law will only condemn us.
Mm-hmm.
Now notice here, verse 8, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me. In other words, it produced in me all manner of lust, because now I understand it's wrong even to think about it.
Yes.
For it to even cross my mind. For when he says, I was alive without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived. It cranked up what sin is, and I died.
That's
it killed me.
That's it.
See that? And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death.
Yes.
Because all it could do is put me to death, because there's no way I could be ever right, because I'm always thinking stuff that's not right.
Amen.
For sin, taking the occasion by the commandment, deceived me, just like it did Eve. And by it slew me.
Mm-hmm.
See, put me to death. Wherefore, now notice all this is in the first person. Paul is saying this is true of him.
Yes.
Wherefore, the law is holy, the commandment holy and just and good. But so there's nothing wrong with the law. The problem is me.
That's right.
He says, well, that then which was good made death unto me, God forbid.
Mm-hmm.
But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which was good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. In other words, that only shows me how ugly and how deep of a problem sin really is.
That's right. Amen.
It's very ugly. It's very deep. It's within my makeup.
Yeah.
So it's something I have to deal with.
Amen.
I can't,
amen,
just ignore it.
No way.
Sweep it under the carpet. I can't positively speak it out of my life.
Yes.
Doesn't work that way. It's something that has to be dealt with at the core of the human soul.
Amen.
Now notice this. He says, verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal.
Yes.
That means fleshly.
Yes.
Sold under sin. How did that happen? Adam mortgaged our souls.
Yes, he did.
Verse 15, for that which I do, he says, I allow not. I find myself doing stuff and I don't approve of it anymore.
Yes.
Because now my heart is right and I know who God is and I know this is not acceptable. You ever say something and then you felt bad right after you said it?
Yes.
Or thought something, you knew that was wrong?
Yes.
And you go, boy, what is wrong with me? And you find yourself questioning your own actions. He says, for what I would do, he says, I would that I do, for what I would that do I not. He says, but what I hate that I do.
Yes.
So what happened? Your disposition changes when you get saved.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
You start hating certain stuff about yourself.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
That doesn't mean, see, a lot of people, you have to understand this is deep. This is really deep. I hate a whole lot of stuff about myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I'm covered by the grace of God.
My Lord.
And I also know that I'm not the only one. Everybody here has got issues.
That's right.
And not just here, but on the planet.
Right.
See, sin is a serious, deep problem.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And thank God. Now, you know what? It makes me thank God for Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Because he covered me and he's already blessed me, already received me in his family, filled me with the Spirit.
Yes.
The Spirit is showing me myself.
Yeah.
And how whacked I am and what needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
You know what else? He doesn't stop right there, though. Because what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? He is going to lead you and what? Guide you to all truth.
That's right.
See? And he's going to be with you always. How long?
Always.
Even to the end of the world. He says, I've taken you up as a project. I am never going to leave you or forsake you. I am in you forever.
Yes.
Until the trumpet sounds.
I'm sealed.
You're sealed for the day of redemption. That's the word we're looking for. Ephesians 4 and 30. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And the promise is from God. I'm filling you with my Spirit. I will not let you down on anything. No matter what you do about me. You might let me down, but I'm not going to let you down.
Never.
See, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world.
Yes.
See that? So the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. That's the problem.
Yes.
He says, I'm doing stuff I don't want to do, and some of the stuff I do I hate.
Right.
And I don't do everything I ought to do. There's stuff you say, you know, I'd like to go do this and that. The Spirit puts it in your heart to do it, and you don't get it done.
Yes.
Don't get it done.
You find yourself short of the things that he said he wants you to do.
Yes.
So this is not to make you feel bad. This is motivation to let you know that this is how the Holy Spirit works.
Amen. Amen.
He loves you. He's stirring up good stuff in your heart.
Yes.
And he's going to give you the victory over your flesh.
Yeah.
Or you will rise up and start to obey the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You will start to do the good things you know you ought to do.
Yes.
You will start to suppress the flesh and walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
He says, and that's what happens in chapter 8. Remember, he says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not in the flesh but in the Spirit, for the law and the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, for that which could not be done by the law, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. You see, and for sin he sent him to pay that debt, so that you and I, so he could perfect in us those things which are lacking. But here in Romans 7, I just wanted you to see this again, because you need to understand how the Jews were struggling and how you may be struggling. But I want you, this is not to make you feel bad, it's to help you understand the dynamic of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now notice this, let's move along here. Verse 15, for that which I do not, he said, that which I do I allow not. I find myself doing some stuff, I know it ain't right.
Yes.
But he said, that which I would, that I do not. I don't do the stuff I should.
Mm-hmm.
But what I hate, that I do. The stuff I hate, I find myself involved in it.
Yes.
If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. There's nothing wrong with the law.
That's right.
He says, now here's the conclusion. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. There's indwelling sin in me, and I have to admit that in order to know that I need to be cleansed.
Yes.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. There's no resource in me to execute the things God wants me to do.
Amen.
So what's going to happen when you start doing everything God wants you to do? You're going to start doing what he wants you to do, because the Spirit is guiding you. You're going to say, thank you, God. You're going to say, hallelujah. You're going to give him the praise. You're going to give him the glory, because you know it's not you.
Amen.
You're not going to try to take the glory to yourself.
Amen.
You're going to praise him and lift up his name, because it's him. He's the one working it out in you.
Now,
he says, now notice in verse 20, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. This is not an excuse, it's a reality.
That's right.
He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me.
Mm-hmm.
See, we want to do more. How many times you said, I'm going to Bible study because I know I need it.
Yes.
And then, whoever, the Big Bang Theory came up. And I got stuck because my flesh would rather watch some hogwash than come in and hear the truth.
Yeah.
Or something. You know, sometimes we find ourselves giving stuff that we have no business.
Yes,
we know this is not helping me.
Yes.
And what I really need is the word.
Yes.
So what is it going to get me up out of my seat and get me down here where I can hear the word so God can adjust me?
Yes.
And make me right. See, and don't feel like it's just you. People have done, preachers struggle with these things. Obviously, here's Paul.
Yes.
The apostle. He's writing that I'm having an issue here. And I want you to know, he's putting it on the table. You know what? God cleaned him up.
Yes, he did.
And got him some victory over some of these things.
Yeah.
Verse 22, very important. For I delight in the law of God after the inner man. In other words, God changed my heart, so I love everything in his word.
Yeah.
The word is pure, it's beautiful.
Amen. Yes,
it's right, it's holy.
Amen.
I love it.
Yeah.
My heart is right. I want to do it.
Yeah.
But then there's this other thing. Notice verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind.
Yes.
And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. See, that's a tragic kind of a situation. But at the same time, it creates sympathy in me when I see a drunk on the curb.
Yes.
Or if I see a dope addict.
Yeah.
Or if I see a prostitute, or if I see a homosexual, or whatever I see, because I know what you're dealing with.
Yes.
And I know who you need. You need the Lord.
Jesus.
You know, right. And it doesn't take any more mercy to save you than it took to save me.
Amen.
What you're doing is no worse than what I've been dealing with. See, and so you can be saved. I want to tell you about Christ.
Yeah.
I want you to know God will take you right out of your mess, wherever you're at, right now.
Amen.
And he will save you.
Yes,
he will fill you with his spirit. He will give you power over indwelling sin.
Yeah.
Amen. He is the only one who can do it.
The only one.
See, so the holiness of the law of God. Now notice this. Paul cries out about himself. Let's finish the verses. Oh, wretched man that I am. He didn't say that I used to be. Look at that. That's present tense.
That's right.
Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the answer. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God.
Yes.
But with the flesh, the law of sin. So the law of sin is there. We can't sweep it under the rug.
That's right.
That's why we don't talk to people. Sometimes we say stuff and it's too harsh.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't have said that. That was too harsh. You know, you tell people something, and or either they get on, we like I say, we walk around with our last nerve on our sleeve. Well, I ain't got on my last nerve, and now I got to tell them, get them told. That's how we go. Well, you got to put that last nerve out of touch, where it gets down somewhere, where it doesn't create trouble for you. The Holy Spirit's going to help you do that.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
He will fill you and bless you and give you the encouragement that you need to execute every good thing that God has put in your heart to do.
Yes.
So the holiness of the law of God, when presented, reveals the transgressions, the transgressors thereof. In other words, whoever breaks the law, it reveals it. It shows you that this is an issue.
Yes.
Thereof, he says, the carnality of our nature is designed to amplify and draw the sinner to accountability before God. That's what the law does.
Amen.
It drags me before God to show me that I'm not holy.
Yes.
And if it's not for your mercy and your grace, I'll be consumed.
That's right.
That's why, like Malachi 3:6, he says there, I am the Lord your God, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
Yes.
Only because I don't change.
Marvel.
If I said I'm going to bless you, I'm going to bless you.
That's right.
If I said I gave my son for you, he covers you entirely.
Amen.
Your sin is covered. God doesn't change. I'm the one waffling around dealing with this issue here.
Yes.
But the fact is, he loves me, accepts me just like he is, he loves you. He accepts you just like you are, but he did it to fix me.
That's right. Amen.
He's fixing me now.
Amen.
And I'm getting better.
Yes.
Thank the good Lord for that.
Thank
he's applying
you.
The Holy Spirit in my life, in my mind, in my thoughts.
Yes.
In my activities, in my desires, in my goals.
Amen.
Everything. The saved individual has been given a deep inner desire to please God and really wishes to live in accordance with the law of God.
Yes.
And is often found in conflict with God in that there is yet the presence of indwelling sin. That's why he told the Galatians, "This I say, walk by the Spirit, yes, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Right. You see that?
That's right.
That wouldn't make sense if there was no lust in my flesh.
That's right.
He says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh."
That's right.
For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh,
right,
and these two are contrary one to another.
Yes, they
that
are.
You may not do the things that you would.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
So that's the whole thing. God puts the Spirit in contradiction to what you and I want to do.
Yes.
And we walk by the Spirit. If we obey the Spirit, He's always there. There's no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be,
yes,
tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation provide the way of escape that you,
yes,
may be able to endure it.
Amen.
See, so God gives the Spirit so we can have victory over indwelling sin.
Amen.
So we have to learn how to yield to the Spirit. Now, finally, this, and then we're ready to close. The only deliverance from such a fallen condition is by the blood of Jesus,
yes,
whom God has sent forth to deliver all,
yes,
who believe in Him from eternal wrath and endless judgment.
Yes.
So there's only one way out, and that is through Jesus,
glory,
Christ.
Hallelujah.
And if you have accepted Him, He has saved you.
That's right.
And we just want to say right now, we're going to just clear the front row here. We're not going to put out the chairs. Let's leave the chairs. I just want to clear the front row over here. If there's anybody here who would like to submit yourself to the Lord and you have not done that, we want to give you the opportunity, because God wants to give you power,
yes,
over indwelling sin.
Oh,
he is,
yes,
the only one who can. So if you're here today and you have not become a part of the church, which means you trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, that He has died and rose again from the dead after 3 days and nights according to the Scriptures, come at this time and have a seat here on the front row.
Yes.
Amen. Let us all stand just for
my
a minute
Lord.
Here.
Glory, hallelujah.
Amen. Or if you would like to be a member of St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church,
yes,
we would like to, it would be our privilege,
oh, yes,
to teach you and train you in the Word of God. We'd like you to come have a seat on this front row here, if you would. Amen. We have plenty of room, but space is running out pretty quick here. It's starting to fill up. But come on in right now if you'd like to be a member of our family. We're here to help you. Amen. We have people who have been through all kinds of changes, and they are here to help you with whatever you're struggling with.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
And the Lord is able to break those chains.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Just trust Him today. Don't be ashamed of Him. Come right now. You know, even what Jesus did, if you think about it, He was lifted up between heaven and earth. They gambled for His clothes. That means He was stripped naked and hung not. They always show the cross with a loincloth on Jesus.
Yes.
But I guarantee you, the Bible says they stripped Him of all of His clothing, and He was only covered by the mercy and the grace of God and the blood that He shed for your sins. So we'd like to ask you to come today. Don't be ashamed to own Him. Think about what He went through for you. Amen. He did that for each one who was here. He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Me." Amen. So we lift Him up right now. He's able to heal you spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, any way that you need a healing. Amen. Some of us have been abused in some kind of way. And the Lord is able to heal you. He's able to give you a peace that you have never had,
yes,
before.
Oh, yes.
And so we're inviting you to come right now, whoever,
yes,
you are, if you'd like to be a member of our church family. We are here to help you.
Yes.
And we all are here. We have mercy because God has given us the gift of mercy,
Lord,
to administer it to whosoever will.
Lord,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Whatever you're struggling with, come right now.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come to Jesus, just now.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room.
Amen.
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 We thank the good Lord for each and every one of you. Amen. And we hope that you will progress further. I thought that if we understood this a little better, because next time we're going into the 11th chapter of Romans, and Paul is still dealing with the unbelief of the Jews. Now, I want to say this, just before we dismiss, that the Jews, as you see right now, are in the news. They're in the very center focal point of all that stuff you see with ISIS and all of that going on.
Yes.
They're going to remain in the news. Why would a little speck of property this big on the map compared to countries this big be a problem? Because God has promises that he intends to fulfill. We're going to see that. And that's what Paul deals with in Romans 11.
Yes.
That we'll see as we continue our study. Israel is going to turn around and trust in Jesus Christ before it's all done. The prophecy is written in the Word.
Yes.
And we will continue our study. So as you, when you see them, I just want you to know the very presence of Israel in the news is proof that God has power to tell you the future.
Amen.
He already did it.
Amen.
Wrote it down. There hasn't been a word added to this for 2,000 years, since 95 A.D.
Yes.
And God sealed the book with a curse.
That's right.
And he promises that in the latter days, the people who rejected him, and the reason that he rejected him is all going to be revealed in chapter 11. And so this is something I'm giving you kind of a preview of what's coming up. And to me, it's fascinating. It really is.
Yes.
You know, it's fascinating to me that they're right there in the middle of the news. You know what? The thing in Ferguson took over the news for a while over there. But now you see ISIS and Israel, that's all right back on the front page.
Yes.
And it was before all that started.
That's right.
And it will be for a while because God has some things to do. And people think they can just speck the Jews away because they're so little, but it's going to be an amazing thing that you see God do, because he's going to still keep the promises he made Abraham, and nothing in the universe can stop it.
Nothing.
The Bible says it's coming a time when every nation will turn against Israel.
That's right.
Right now, America says this is the only thing I think that's holding out judgment from being worse here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I think America still has an allegiance to Israel.
That's right.
We've already divorced God out of everything in our country.
Right.
Threw him out the schools, out the court. We don't want it in the courthouse. Take down that Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way we're treating the Lord.
Yes.
I think it's awful. Then they want to know, why do we have riots and murder, and why are people killing each other, and why come people are so rowdy? Well, you threw God out 50 years
That's
ago.
Right.
And now this is several generations without the Lord.
Amen.
In the midst of everything the way he was.
Amen.
And you want to know what's the problem? Kumbaya is not going to fix it.
That's right.
Can't we all just get along? No, we can't. That's not going to fix it.
Amen.
See, you got to go back where you made that bad turn, like Bugs Bunny said. I knew I should have made a left at Albuquerque. We got to get back where we were. Turn around and get back where you ought to be.
That's right.
And I kind of joke about that somewhat, but it's just the truth. We're not going to get fixed until we get back like we are.
That's right.
You know what? In the country, I don't think it's going that way. They're going downhill fast. All they're doing is legalizing the stuff they can't get control of.
That's it.
We got lust legalizing.
Uh-huh.
Just make same-sex marriage. That's fine. We don't.
Yes.
Just so we won't feel guilty about it. Let's ram it down everybody else's throat.
Mm-hmm.
Make them take it whether they want it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done that with all kinds of things.
Yes, well,
marijuana can't fix it. Just let's sell it. Just sell it to everybody.
Taxi.
Then that way we can get the money. And really, money is their God.
That's it.
See? But we need not fall into that. The church is going to be in stark opposition to the way the world is if we're preaching the truth.
Amen.
There's going to be a whole lot of the church jump on the bandwagon
with
the world.
That's right.
And that's what the Bible calls an apostasy, a falling away.
That's right.
We will continue to teach the truth right here. And if they come over here and attack us, then that's what we read your responsive reading again.
Mm-hmm.
There'll come a day when there might be some conflict over the truth.
Yes.
Those who stand for the truth. But I'm ready myself, so hopefully you will be mentally prepared also. Amen. If we live in that time.
That's right.
To hold up the truth. Amen.
Right.
Having said that, let us, or any questions, comments, any visitors like to have a word about anything, you may do that at this time. Before we dismiss, if you like, if you don't, we understand. Amen. We don't want you to come in our house and say you never had an opportunity to say something. Okay, so we want to give you that opportunity at this time.
Yes.
Any question, any unclear thing in your mind, anything like that. Amen. Keep in mind, we are here on Wednesday for Bible study. We kind of dissect stuff a little bit in there. This past Wednesday, it just turned into an all-out fellowship. We had Hodak chicken, and we had all sorts of good dessert, and we weren't really even intending to throw a party. It just turned into one. It was good fellowship. And so consider yourselves welcomed. Amen. Let us stand to receive the benediction. Amen. Everlasting God, our Father, we praise you and bless you,
yes,
oh God.
Lord.
We thank you, Father, that you have control,
Lord,
even over things that we can't control, Father. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Be in us, oh God. Stir up that gift that you have given each one here in this room, Father. Help us to be the men and women that you're calling for in these last and evil days. No matter what the falling away church does, Lord, we don't want to be a part of it.
That's right.
We want you to be in the center of everything that goes on at St. Timothy, Lord, and in each one of us individually.
Yes, Lord.
Fill us, keep us, forgive us of our sins, God. Cleanse us. Teach us to walk in a way that's acceptable in your sight.
Yeah.
Bless every home and family that's represented here. Bless
please,
us when
Lord,
we come in and when we go out.
Yes.
Oh, God, and as we go down from this place, let your spirit rest, rule, and abide in each
yes,
one
Lord,
of us, oh, God,
please,
as we go forward. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. And we ask it all in the matchless name of Jesus Christ.
Jesus' name.
Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that
yes,
we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory, glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. And the whole church say it together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.